Hello there. This episode is sponsored by something. If you don't know what to say, just say something. If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, tell your friends. And without further ado, here's the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Padawan Unlimited podcast, a Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast. Unlike last week, which was really short, this week we're going to go a little longer, and I have back with me recurring co-hosts Corey and Rob. How you guys doing?
Ahoy.
Hello there.
Doing good. Got to play some Swoo over this past weekend, just a little bit, but we got to meet some more people playing Swoo at a convention, no?
Yeah. PAX was this weekend, so we were down in Philadelphia, and got some real good experience standing in line, let me tell you what. Though we got a story about that later.
Yeah, I know, right? We'll talk about that a little bit, actually, because that was a pretty wild time.
That was a wild 20 minutes.
For those of you who don't are unaware, and just to reiterate, we're talking about PAX Unplugged, which is a yearly convention held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to be clear. I know, literally last time, like in the last podcast, I said Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and I know that probably just angst somebody. Like, that was like, this guy is so dumb. So let me just be clear. I'm going to be clear that we're talking about PAX Unplugged in Philadelphia, New Jersey. And you guys actually go
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
I fucked up again. So, but you guys go every year, right?
Yeah, I've been to every PAX Unplugged that they've had. I used to go to the PAX East when that started up right away. That's like, love PAX is a great time. Get to play games, and it's cool that because PAX Unplugged is essentially the tabletop, just like pure tabletop, no video games or anything like that. It's focused on, you know, board games and card games and, you know, TCGs and stuff. So it's cool, and then you get to, you know, meet with people, play with people, and, you know, make new friends, play with old friends. Awesome.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite cons for sure. And I've been going for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. It's one of the conventions that I find that you play the most. Like, so the point of going to PAX is to play games, and we did a bunch of that. You know, and every year our local board game group. So Corey and I, for those of you who don't know, Corey and I run a board game group, and we're down there in force pretty much every year, 15, 20 people depending. But this year it was probably a little bit more Swoo focused on it. Not that it has been the past. It wasn't there last year, but it was more Swoo focused than it had been, you know, board game focused as it has been in years past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So speaking about Swoo, I know I did two sealed events. How just want to confirm, like, did you guys do more than that? Any, like, what did you guys play any Swoo events for the listeners?
I just played pickup game. I didn't play any events, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just in the two sealed events with you, Gil, and then the epic line standing event.
Yeah, we did get in line to play with the designers, but that was, 2 hours of not just standing
there? Yeah, 2 hours of us, 2 hours of us standing there, basically.
They only had two people. Like, I think they had three originally, but then one of them had to go, and so there was just two players. And Swoo games are pretty quick, but, like, they're still going to be 20 minutes probably at the
fastest. People were bringing, like, control decks. I mean...
Yeah.
So it's like
some of those early games, it looked like there was control players sitting there for like 40 minutes. So, you know, look, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you kind of get into those lines knowing that maybe you'll get to play, maybe you won't.
I will say that I did. I didn't do this at Gen Con, but like getting designer signings and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. That was something that was probably a couple hours before. So if anyone has not been to a convention, because for me, this is my first year that I've actually gone to like board game convention, trading card game conventions, right? Gen Con in July or August, whatever. And then this is PAX. So I've only gone twice, and I didn't know that there were certain things that you could just do that were like available, like designer duels or like just having them sign stuff. So I think that for any new people out there that are listening, like, I would seriously consider attending because it's a really fun time, and you get to do some unique stuff that you probably wouldn't have to get to do at locals. And one of the things that we did, and, you know, Rob, you kind of alluded to that, we all stood in line for these designer duels for like 2 hours. And still didn't get to play them.
And we didn't get to play, no, because they were only there for 3 to 6, or 3 hours. And so if you didn't get in line in time, you didn't get to play.
But we did still have some fun doing that. I mean,
No, that was what's great is
yeah.
the there's some pretty cool moments there. And what was really nice is though, if you were in line when the cutoff happened, they did give you some swag. So we did get a lanyard with the aspects, which are really it's a really cool
It is a really good
lanyard.
lanyard. Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
And then got the aspect pins that I think they had out and the other cons. Those are cool. I want to get a complete set now though. It's like I gotta beat
No,
Thanos and
oh,
gather them
100%.
all.
That is part of my, and I've said it affectionately this past weekend, it's gonna be part of my swooniform. So anytime in like a convention or playing at a Star Wars Unlimited event, I'm gonna wear that with the aspect pins and stuff.
Nice.
And it was really nice that they were like, hey, here you've been waiting in line. As long as you got here by six, you're here by six, like take this free stuff, which was really
Yep.
cool.
Yeah.
And so just to kind of regale the
Yeah,
folks that
this
are
is an
listening.
amazing. This is an amazing story here.
Well, we've been teasing it for long enough. I think we can probably tell them what
Yeah,
happened.
I know. So we were sitting, or we were standing there for however many hours, and we realized that we're just bored as hell, I think. And you can only talk so much to the same people for a period of time, right? My sister-in-law, Samantha, decided to buy a box of Spark of the Rebellion from one of the vendors that was like across the way. Opens the box. And what did
It
she
was a
have? She
decent box. She
was
got
it
in the
was a it was a
box.
pretty decent box. It was
Yeah,
like
she
it was
got
a
a
full bunch.
Boba Fett, which is good.
She pulled a Hyperspace Command,
Yep.
Boba Fett. What else did she pull? She pulled like
Vader.
two other
It's
beast legendaries, I think. And so like we're and but like early on also she was pulling like big double rare packs, like all playable stuff like U-wings and things like that. So it was a pretty good box, all things considered. And we were kind of gathering around, like, man, this was a really good box. Like, no way this is gonna get better.
Yeah, and then the guy next to us. So shout out to Jackson,
Stand
in
in line with
New
us, yeah.
Hampshire, for falling to our peer pressure and buying a box from the same vendor. And then he comes out with what, a cunning, right? A
No, then
hollow
a
cun,
foil
a
cunning.
foil cunning.
So we got no, you got yeah, exactly. We got two cunnings, a regular cunning and then a foil cunning.
He's hunting for Luke's. He still gets a Vader, and then he pulls a showcase.
Yeah, showcase her.
Ridiculous.
Showcase hair, and he pulled an Avenger. Oh
Yep.
yeah, that was an even better box.
So it was like cunning, Avenger, Vader, and a showcase Hera. I was like, "What the heck? This is amazing!"
Yeah. And
And I was
so,
like,
and the showcase hits, and like everybody around us goes freaking nuts too, because we're
"Right?"
just
It's like,
like,
we're all
yeah,
watching because there's nothing else to do. We're just watching people open packs.
exactly. And we're making kind of a show of it, actually. We're just kind of, flipping it, going through like sliding each card, like going through the commons, then commons into the slowing, go through the back. Which actually, one of the other team members from McClunky got a Nala Se during one of our sealed events. I think Rob and I
But
around us
yeah,
just
plus one
naturally,
aura to showcases.
oh my God, just showcases flowing left and right. There was a mace from
Yeah.
another table, the Nala Se from McClunky, and then on
Padme in their first
while we were in
Padme.
line, someone pulled a Ahsoka showcase also.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, crazy, crazy stuff. And then, sorry, going back to the original story, then I get jealous a little bit.
And I'm
Course.
telling him this is a terrible idea. This is a
Me
terrible idea.
too. I'm
Already pulled the
like,
showcase.
there's no
Don't do
way.
it, man. Don't do it.
The luck. There's
So
no
go
way.
like go to the same vendor,
Three
get
times
it
in a
from the
row.
same box, open the box, and it's just like pretty good stuff. I mean, I also got like a Vader, a Millennium Falcon,
Yeah,
Mace
but
Windu.
like you didn't hit any of that early though.
I didn't hit anything else. So my wife, she flips it and it's a fucking showcase.
Parkin
Yeah, you flipped
showcase.
the Tarkin showcase.
Within
Like,
the first like
and
four
mind you,
packs,
yeah.
right?
It
And
was
then
only
like
like,
a
yeah, it was only like four packs in. I mean, like you had each been opening two at the same time, so it was eight packs in. But like eight packs in, you hadn't hit anything, and then it's like oh no, that's right. She hit one. She hit one. She hit a I think she hit the Falcon before. And then like two packs later, she pulls the Tarkin showcase.
Yeah, and then there's still like other legendary and like
Then it was a
hyperspace Luke.
Vigilance.
Yeah, Vigilance. Yeah, I forgot about
Then it was a
Hyperspace
Hyperspace
Luke.
Luke. Then it was a Vader, and then it was a Mace.
Yeah, it was dumb. I was like, and so when we kept trying to, people, I think there's one guy behind us was like, this is crazy. And then one in front of us was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
Like,
he
I
turned
didn't get
around
to
and was
see.
like, you've got to be kidding. Like looked at me, was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like two showcases back to back.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that's our story for PAX Unplugged, and everyone here got to participate. So I was happy that this is one of those things like you never experience outside of a convention. Just like standing in line, like what do I do? And then like you get to just
open
do this.
PAX. It's like you can do it as a group, and it's a cool thing as they can share it that moment together. It's more fun when you open together and you get that showcase with everybody. It's like, and everyone's cheering. It's like,
That second showcase, like we had people like stand up from the tables, like they were on the other side of the screen to be like, what the heck happened?
Yeah. Except that whoever bought that case, I wish there were more cases like that, because I know that there's many people out there who get like one of our guys doesn't, he got a box with no legendaries, right? Lau or whatever.
Poor Lau. Yeah.
That sucks. Anyway, don't want to beat that story too down. But you know, enjoying set one, set two was I think pretty good. Set three, I mean, I love set three. I know a lot of there's a lot of people out there who don't. I actually don't know about you guys.
Really?
Do you guys like set three?
I love
set three. Is great. Yeah.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Okay. I love set three. I was like, I'll see. You know what it is? There's a lot of Debbie Downers online. On Discords that talk about it. So,
I mean, I think like Spark is the best one still, is the sets, but like set two is fine, but set three is better. So, it's like...
yeah, I mean, and what I would say is, you know, some of this may have to do with the fact that Boba got banned in set three, and so therefore there's been a lot of new like thought happening in the swoo space, right? Like, so instead of it just being like it's Boba and then whatever can potentially beat Boba, now we're getting a lot of variety coming up. You know, that's why you're seeing Cad Banes and, you know, Django, you're seeing Anakin, you're seeing a bunch of stuff that might not have been viable with Boba on the table, and now we're just like, and now it's like the world's our oyster.
Yeah, agreed. Speaking of Boba ban,
he's
just
back.
All they did was replace it with another Boba in set four.
Boba in every set.
So what, you know, we got that first look.
Boba in set three.
I know.
Just
unfortunately.
Django.
Just
but there was
but it's still you got Fett. You got a Fett in every set.
Fett in every set. Oh, I like that. Maybe we should coin that phrase. So set four kind of got some drops a couple weeks ago. I haven't really talked about it. I talked about it very lightly last week in my little short episode. But, you know, I'd love to get your guys' initial thoughts on set four. Maybe, Corey, we'll start with you, then we'll go to Rob.
Yeah, sure. As soon as we heard the name, right, like, jump to light speed, it's like, all right, we're going vehicle heavy. And if we're going vehicle heavy, then we got to have some space leaders, some way of doing a space leader, however that's going to be. And this makes the most sense to me. Space leaders are going to, or leaders now can flip either in space or in ground, but when they flip in space, they're going to be an upgrade to a vehicle. So they'll have different stats and abilities depending on what's, you know, what their flip is. And so now you can flip into a vehicle and give it +3, +4, +3, +3, whatever it is. I think that's a really cool idea. I like it a lot because it's going to change the thought process and it's going to force people to play cards that they may not want to play in certain decks. And that's going to make their deck maybe worse.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have heard me say it, but I'm kind of down on this. I think that the leaders flipping is an upgrade and being removable by things like confiscate, disabling Fang Fighter. There's a lot of tech in the game right now that can get rid of leaders in a very very sort of non-impactful way. Again, confiscate is at one cost that is in all aspects. It's neutral, so you can bring it in just about every deck. If it means, even if you don't put it in the main deck, it's in the sideboard. It's a way to kind of deal with some of this stuff that kind of is a little disappointing to me. There's not a, you know, there's it, yes, it does mean that you now have to bring confiscate with you. It takes up a slot in your sideboard or it takes up a slot in your deck. And it is a mobile, right? You know, like you have options. You can still, you know, sort of do it first game, you know, flip into space and then see if they've got the confiscate. And then if they don't, and they don't have an answer, then yeah, it's a problem. And then they sideboard on the confiscate and then you flip to ground. There is option, there's counterplay to it. So I'm not saying it's like the end all be all.
Keep in mind as well, like the leaders aren't the only pilots I ever see in this game.
Correct.
Exactly. Yep.
I would say, so, Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, what I was going to go, where I was going to go with that is like, if there are enough, I guess, call them cheap pilots. Like we saw Bosk at, I think he's 4 cost, right?
His piloting is actually 2.
Yeah, I was going to say like the piloting costs are different.
Yeah, the pilot. Yeah, it's like smuggle. Like the costs are different. Like I think pilot is usually a cheaper cost. So Bosk costs 4, but his piloting is 2, and it becomes a 2-2 upgrade with an on attack.
Yeah, so if we see like a bunch of these where it's like it's just going to be upgrades on upgrades on upgrades, and it's going to be really hard to kind of manage, then I think it's fine. But again, even in there, you know, I look at it as like, all right, you play, you know, regardless of that, you have to play a unit, then you have to play an upgrade onto that unit, right? So you're talking about two actions in the early game where, okay, you might have a large unit, large presence. That's great, but then it's really, again, blue control becomes very powerful again because it's very susceptible. Those types of things are very susceptible to power of the dark side, you know, just removal in general.
Yeah, I think it's still a little too early in terms of piloting to talk about, because like,
I mean,
what's going to potentially protect it, right? We do know something like maybe Shadow Intentions from this set 3. I mean, Chewbacca can't be defeated or returned to hand as a pilot. Also, a lot of our upgrades right now have only been non-vehicle specific. So now you open it up all to all these vehicle related upgrades essentially. So it just opens up the other side of the field. And I want to make sure that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think piloting is also not just necessarily space. It's just any vehicle. Right. So yeah, you start piloting.
Just a vehicle. Mm-hmm.
And so by the time you're getting, if you can get a game to like 8 resources, right, and you're 8-10 resources and you're throwing a pilot on a reinforcement locker, I doubt you have a confiscate left. So that's like a really hard choice. Like you can potentially have 3 main back. You could have 3 confiscates. You could waste on leader, but now you don't have the answer for later in the game when the piloting probably is really going to freaking matter. You know,
right.
You still have Arrival's Fall. You still have Super Laser Blast. You still have
The thing is, there is a lot of removal.
Yeah.
And there's options, but you need that. That if you don't have it, then it's gonna feel bad, right?
Yeah. That's why I think control is going to come strong out of the gate and set 4. You're gonna see. I think you're gonna see a lot of low unit or low to the ground. Decks with a lot of removal, a lot of bounce, a lot of, you know, options to kind of deal with. Because that's the other thing, like Waylay deals with pilots as well, because you bounce it and it just kills whatever's on it. You know, the anything that, you know, so then you look at like, you know, double yellow decks, cunning is now a problem. Cunning only affects, the bounce is only on, is it power or is it cost? I don't remember for the bounce.
For cunning?
For when you bounce, it's like, is it power 4 or cost 4 or less?
I don't remember.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but regardless, like, you know, you've got a lot of ways.
Aggression.
4 or less power non-leader mm-hmm. for cunning. That's what you mean? Return a non-leader you with 4 less power. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to bounce like small like big things later, but like cunning early, because cunning's really a tempo play. To bounce something that got upgraded, Waylay's there still. You know, there's still a lot of answers that I think are gonna be there, and I think it just means that, you know, blue and yellow still stay pretty strong, and blue and yellow villain is still going to be a very strong player in the scene.
Yeah, but I think that's their jam. You know what I mean? Like, that's always going to be the case. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what cunning and vigilance do in general. I will, you know what? The other thing that we haven't really talked about, I see a lot of like voice traffic, like talking about piloting, but no one really talking about the other thing that's, it's not necessarily mechanic, but indirect damage.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
It's interesting. I mean, it's kind of like basically the CAD thing built into a couple of units.
Well, it can hit bases, if there's enough of too.
It can hit base.
That's what makes it.
But it's still opponent choice. So like 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to drop it on a unit if it's not impactful.
Indirect damage is the person that it's affecting has the choice. It's not
correct.
Not the. The player itself,
not the caster,
like, not the caster in this sense. Nope.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's good. And if there's a lot of it, I think it will be impactful, i.e., you know, if it's on a lot of cheap units that you can just start throwing out and you're like, okay, do one indirect damage there, do one indirect damage there, you know, then it starts to become a problem because now you're having to spread it around. You're opening, you know, again, it's like turns Tarkentown on again, of course, obviously, you know, and Tarkentown is going to be a staple going forward with all the pings that already exist. Now we're adding more.
Yeah, I mean, I can see double red being a pretty big, and that's full
aggression. Well, yeah, and aggression being able to remove two upgrades is going to really bring it into the fore. I have a feeling because it's just a solution now. You know, whereas before that remove upgrades was kind of a dead thing on.
You know,
on
power failure was a three upgrades, right? That's
yeah, exactly. So you know, like some of those things that might not have been powerful before might start getting second looks, but. You know, I think an all-out speed aggression, you know, with aggression in the deck, might come out. We'll see what happens there.
I mean,
you know. No, I'm surprised that you're down on this. I think adding this mechanic to the or adding changes like this really opens up the options. In my opinion, we'll have to see because again, we don't know all the spoilers yet, and we're just getting a glimpse of what. The possibilities are. I think that it opens up a lot.
Yeah,
I think it does. It's a tempo thing.
I'm excited.
Upgrades lose your tempo inherent.
I'm excited for all the potential combos, like Wedge and Tilly's stocks for green heroism going up. Every vehicle gets +1/+1 and ambush right off the rip. At five resources, like that's pretty solid. And Wedge and Tilly's already 5/5.
And the first three sets are definitely more focused on ground, and so. I'm assuming we're going to get some vehicles in ground as well, but like we're definitely getting a lot more space units if we're going to be able to pilot space stuff. And so I think that's going to bring it a little bit more equal potentially with the set where we're going to have more decks that are going to be, you know, capable to just outside of Jenga. Jenga's obviously a big space deck right now, but we're going to see a lot more, I think.
Oh, it's not just a space deck. You gotta always be persuading, baby. That persuader tank.
Oh my god, yeah. I think green heroism is gonna be like the right thing to have. I mean, from based on what I'm seeing, because if you think about just previous sets, he's like for me, like Wedge Antilles or whatever. But like the new Chewbacca is so dumb. Like if you put that on a Sabine deck or something,
so what does
like
Chewbacca do? Tell Chewbacca us what does.
Chewbacca is a 5 cost, 5/6. Okay, decent stats. He can't be defeated or returned to the hand by enemy card abilities. That's just his regular ability, right? His piloting, he's at 3 costs, gives 3/3 as an upgrade, and adds that ability. Unit can't be defeated or returned to hand by enemy card abilities. That is...
So there, it takes away the waylay, you know?
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is, at least right now, green heroism is looking mighty solid.
Yeah. I mean, Chewie's going to be a problem, you know, because then you've got a face check. So you have to have solutions for that. That is problematic, you know. But unfortunately, not every pilot's going to be like that. But you're going to have that is going to be something that people are going to have to solve for, because that's just going to be a thing that happens.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's why we still have no idea what else we got. You know, that's what's very interesting. I'm really liking what I see though.
Definitely. No, same. And even with the space tokens, just like a vehicle fighter, TIE fighter, and X-Wing, that's gonna be interesting because you could start potentially flood the board with all these low cost, like space flight units or whatever, and then just pilot all of them. Like at the six resources, you know, you have, if there's pilots that only cost 2, when you get like 2 tokens, now there's 2 X-Wings with 2 pilots, and then you have your leader pilot still deploy. It's gonna be kind of wild.
It's interesting too because you're gonna get the tokens and you're getting experience and shields in this.
Oh yeah, we set. Are getting experience and shields back.
Yep. So you're gonna have a lot of token variety.
Mm-hmm. But the choice there too with the leaders, that's interesting because like you don't have to pilot. Like okay, sure, that guy's gonna, you know, sideboard his confiscates and his disabling fang fires whatever, but. You don't have to put them on there. You can just flip them to the ground. It's like
it just kind of sucks. You get a generic 4/7, right, with Boba or whatever it is. On 6 this time, though, on 6. opposed to five.
Red. I mean, we gotta get one in every aspect, right?
Blue's
next.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, like I said, you know, this is all speculation at this point, and I'm down on it, but I'm not unconvinced that it will, not be a factor. I think it's, you know, if the entire set is focused on this, and it's focused primarily on vehicles and pilots and this kind of stuff, and there's just enough, you know, meat on the bone to explore that design space, then yeah, we're gonna have some good times with that. Chewie's gonna be a problem though. I don't know how you deal with that if you can't remove them, other than face checking, right? You know, it's like, if you can't remove them and you can't,
I mean, it's like the what's one you mentioned earlier, the card before where you put it on, you can't bounce it.
Oh, Shadow's Intentions.
Yeah, I mean, it's just,
yeah, but Shadowed Intentions is a 0/0. It just gives that ability. Sure. You can still actually direct damage it, which is, I guess, what you can.
Well,
do
you can still direct damage Chewie. It's still,
yeah. Well, no. But like, you can use direct damage spells. So I think.
Well, you can do that with Chewie too.
Yeah, you can do that with Chewie. I think that's gonna.
It just, you can't bounce them, and you can't use Vanquish or Rival's Fall or Power or whatever.
But it sounds like you can target him with upgrade removal still. Is that accurate? You can't bounce him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's not defeated. It's just removing an upgrade. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I think there's still a lot of things to see. It'll be very interesting. They only showed three leaders. They had Asajj. They showed Asajj, who has 4/6 grit. It's not bad. I mean, could be better for a 6 cost, yeah. Epic action. Damn, Boba Fett and Han Solo. Are there any pilots that you guys are potentially excited for set three? If, you know, like, let's speculate here. I mean, I have my thoughts.
Porkins, man.
Porkins, yeah. I think Porkins might be a common. I think you're gonna see Poe. I think Poe's gonna be the premier red space encryption. Yeah.
Okay. Black one. Is black one?
Yeah. I mean, like, think about it.
Oh, we have black one and Poe already, but
yeah. Yeah, we do. We have black one and Poe, but we've got. But like, think about it in terms of like his character design and, sure. and all those type of things. He's gonna be fast. He's gonna be aggression based. Mm-hmm. I think gonna be interesting, and he's very likely gonna be red.
You gotta have an Anakin again.
Another one.
Do we get like young Anakin though, like boy Anakin piloting
the fighter?
No, this is pod racing, right? Like that's the subtext there.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, there has to be a pod racing vehicle that does like the new no damage, but like three health, but like can just do something wild. That would be fantastic as a vehicle. I'm telling you,
we're getting this is pod racing. It's gonna be the like one of the legendaries. It's gonna be amazing.
I think what is gonna be like cunning. I feel like it has to be cunning.
Yeah.
I'm speculating that they're gonna reintroduce either Hera, Iden,
oh, for sure,
or Luke as pilots. They're gonna reintroduce one.
I think you're for sure gonna see Hera. They've got her in the cover art for the set.
And Ron's also on the cover.
Ron's also there, so Thrawn's going to probably flip as a, you know, be a leader again, which maybe we get a good version of him this time. It's not that he's a bad version, but it's just he's comparatively to other yellow leaders,
he's weaker.
Yeah, Vader again, potentially. I mean,
I'm curious if they do, because they've only ever done the starter Vader and Luke, and they've only ever done one Luke and one Vader card.
Yeah, they probably bring back Luke.
Which, I don't know. I'm maybe not. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know if they do.
Because, I don't know. It feels weird though, because it doesn't feel like that this is going to be limited. Well, it's like, I guess it is right now, kind of, sort of limited to the original trilogy.
Well,
but
this is they're not sticking to an era because they're doing like,
yeah,
it's, they're going back and forth. Like, so, like with set one, it was, you know, obviously the New Hope era, and then set two was the underworld and bounty hunters theme,
right? So, it's
and
like
then set three was the, you know, Twilight Republic.
This one feels
Clone
like
Wars
it's
era.
This is just
a theme on vehicles. I feel like it's not going to be like I think they're going to pull from whatever they want. They're not going to.
I mean, then if it's iconic pilots, you know, you're going to have Wedge. You're going to have probably Porkins because everybody knows Porkins. You're going to have Poe. You're going to have, obviously, we've got Han. You know, and Porkins may just be like maybe not a leader but a card. But you know, like there's going to be a lot of
Kylo.
That.
I don't know if we would.
Kylo again.
But like when I think of
interesting.
Yeah. I don't think of him as like an iconic pilot, though. You know, I mean, like there is a scene with him as a pilot, but it's not really like his.
No, I don't. I mean, when was the last time you saw Asajj being an iconic pilot?
I guess that's fair. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
They might have. They might redo Lando. They might have a Chewbacca pilot. Redo Chewbacca as a pilot.
Well, they have. He's just a unit.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Sorry, I knew that. Maybe some of the more obscure ones like Nund. Is that how you pronounce his name? Numb? The one that the alien that's next to Lando in episode.
He's got like the gills.
Yeah, like the gills on the side. Yeah, I forgot what race that character is, but was it a Sullust? He's a Sullust. That might be an interesting like minor pilot. I don't know. There's a lot of iconic and non-iconic characters. Did they talk about if they're gonna do Smuggle as well? In this set, like they're gonna bring back some Smuggle cards.
I didn't see anything with it, but I mean, you could add it.
You know who we might get?
It's all wide open.
You know who we might get? Veers in his AT-AT.
Oh, that would be interesting.
We definitely need to get some more aliens. I think.
Yeah, I think they've shot.
I mean, we're gonna get Thrawn. We're gonna get Thrawn. There's one, and we've got Asajj already.
Oh, yeah, they're two humanoids still, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I need I need like an Athorian or like a Bothan that just look low.
Oh, you know. Yeah. Oh, actually, you know who we are gonna get? We're gonna get Akbar.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that would be cool. A little general,
or so, at least
yeah,
it's
we're 1,000%
trap.
Like the it's a tarp. Exactly. I mean, like, come on, like the only time you see him in the movies, he's on the deck of his Corvette. You know, like. It's gonna that's gonna be one of them.
Who's the one from Rogue One? General Admiral Raddus or General Raddus? I hope they make a card for him. That was such an epic scene in that movie when they were trying to get them out of the planet to get the Death Star plans. I hope they make him a unit as well. That'd be so cool. Okay, so we're running out of time, and we're actually recording this super super late at night. So I don't want to.
Oh, you know what it is?
What's that?
Holdo maneuver, baby. As a leader?
What?
Holdo.
I don't
show Holdo. The Holdo maneuver is in the newest trilogy. She like hyperspaces into like the flagship of Snoke. Like
I blinked that out.
Blank out that.
It doesn't make sense. It breaks all the rules in Star Wars.
Oh, Admiral my God. Holdo, baby. That yeah, I know, just having a random hyperspace path that like, why don't you do this in the past kind of deal. Yeah. That would be wild. That would be such a good looking legendary if they did that.
Yeah, one. I'm telling you, that's gonna be a legendary or something like that. Like that art, that'll be.
I want to see that playmat of that, the stuff broken ass story.
Yeah, it's like, if you don't win with this one move, you lose the game automatically. Kind of like the final gambit or whatever from set two.
Final showdown, yeah.
Final showdown. I'd say yeah, Gambit. It would have to be an event card, right? The Holdo maneuver. Couldn't.
Yeah.
That would be wild. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring in some of the new stuff. Yeah, we keep going back.
Do we have death cards? Death Star card.
Ooh. I wonder how much that. Yeah, there has to be a Death Star. Two of them.
I mean, if we're going all these vehicles, is or is it a base?
Oh yeah. It's only been a base so far. I would. That'd be really cool. They had Galactic Ambition from set one that kind of looked like a Death Star,
right,
which is not a playable card really. And he had a base. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting. That should be a rare base.
That's what I'm saying. Like if they do a rare base, I know one of our other suit players, Ryan, has mentioned his ideas for it. But that's like could be cool.
Yeah. I don't know what he would do with that. Like I guess. The longer it goes, like you can automatically win if you could survive until like 12 resources or something, but you only have like 15 health on base, but you automatically win or something.
Well,
some interesting design space. I mean, maybe they'll release some units that make Galactic Ambition worth it. You know, if it's like a 14 cost unit and suddenly you're playing it at 7, for 14 health, sure, but Suddenly you're dropping something that's that impactful. That could be interesting.
AKA Death Star.
Yeah, AKA Death Star.
coming out in Seven Resources. That would be so silly. All right. So closing in on the last couple minutes, closing thoughts. Anything you guys want to share for set four?
No, I'm excited. I'm really excited for the piloting and the thought process of, do I flip to space or do I flip to ground, and what that looks like and how that's going to impact the meta going forward and what these leaders are going to do. I'm excited to see all the units that have piloting on them. Like what are those going to look like and how those are going to impact game and everything there. So I think it's just a really interesting change up that they're doing. Like, I thought that the capture thing was kind of silly. We never really saw that materialize. Smuggle's cool, but there's not really that much smuggling going on. Most decks don't really have it.
Yeah.
But I love that it's there. Mm-hmm. But I think this is going to be the most impactful, like, new, keyword that we're going to get.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, and despite being a bit of a downer on piloting, I do think it's going to be an interesting design space. It is still, anytime you get, sort of a binary decision tree that gets introduced into the game, and suddenly it's not just, okay, I flip and I know where I'm flipping to effectively, or my opponent knows where I'm flipping to, suddenly adding in, that little wrinkle to their decision tree, I think it's a good thing. Like I said, I may be personally down on it, but I do think it's a good mechanic, and I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the design space. I think it's going to be less impactful than we think it is, but or you guys think it is, but I think ultimately it's good design, and we'll see some interesting stuff that comes out of it. I could be completely wrong.
Only time will tell, and we'll talk about it as it unfolds over the next couple of weeks, because set three's only been out for a month, and we're already seeing set four stuff, right? So we're gonna get new cards pretty soon.
Two more months. Oh, the other thing, real quick, sorry, Gil, let's cut you off, but I do want to mention that we're getting Carbonite packs, whatever they call them, the collector's edition packs.
Oh, and they're only limited. Like, if you don't pre-order they're done. Like,
Definitely pushing that FOMO aspect on people, but they are going to be expensive from what the leaks have shown. It looks like
about double the cost, right?
More than double the cost.
Well, it's like the same cost for a booster, but it's 12 packs instead of 24.
Same cost for a booster?
No, it's
going to be a lot more. You're talking, like, because if it's following Magic, like what Magic does, you're talking like $25 a pack. Right, that's what the collectors of their main set stuff. I think it's usually $250 for a booster box of collectors at MSRP. But what I saw on the leak on Reddit, I think you saw that too, is it was $300 ish, like euros or whatever.
Yeah, 300 euros for the pack.
This is about $250 US.
Yeah,
I think euros are higher right now.
Euros are higher. Yeah.
But like. So that, and we're talking like we could be looking at $27 a pack, maybe somewhere in that range.
So I don't even think they're going to be allowed. Well, not allowed, but like to do individual sales. I don't know, how that's going to work.
Magic does it.
Right? Do they really? I don't know much about collectibles.
You can, if it's up to the store probably, but the store will if it's, let's say, $25 a pack, maybe they sell them for $30 a pack instead or something ridiculous. But that's what I see it being, just if they're following the Magic, game plan of how they do this, that's most likely what we're looking at.
I think they mentioned that they're doing the same thing for every set going forward. There's going to be some type of Carbonite special edition pack or booster box.
Makes sense.
It's one of those things. What do you guys think of investing?
I mean, I'm definitely going to get some for sure.
I mean,
the first ones they're doing. Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing is, so basically what they're saying is every card is going to be either foil, hyperspace, hyperfoil, or
Carbonite,
whatever special version all art that's only available in this pack. Plus every card, it's going to be a 15 card pack, I think, something like that. Every card has an option to be a showcase also. So it's not just the leader's slot. It's every slot is the ability to be a showcase.
Do we hear about what that statistic looks like? So in a Carbonite box, is the
you're getting
chance,
12 packs. You're not getting 24. That's the other thing.
Yeah, but is it so like, because it's one showcase for two cases essentially. Do we know the rate? Did they talk? Has anyone seen about ratios for the Carbonite edition? Do we know?
No, but if you're giving, if you're saying that every card in the pack has the ability to be a showcase, you're upping your odds already.
That's true.
But you're also cutting in half the number of packs you're getting in a box. So I think your likelihood of getting the showcases goes up for sure, but it's still going to be fairly rare, I imagine.
I think they're going to keep that secret still. I don't know if they want to reveal that because then people are
going
to
might be like one per case on average instead of one per two cases. That's my
really
whatever random metric you want to throw out
I
there.
I need to do the math, but I feel like it's going to be like one per three or something.
Booster boxes?
Yeah, because like...
Okay.
I don't know, one per case. A case would be, if it's really 300 euros for one box. You know what I mean? Like what incentive? You know what I mean? Like, aside from just trying to hunt for those really special edition art things that are...
Well, that's what it is. Like, you're only exclusive to those packs. That's where the chase is going to be now.
Yeah. I might get a... man, I really didn't want to collect set four and beyond, but you guys are getting me excited.
I'm excited. We'll just make you jealous. We'll buy the box first, and then you get all the good stuff in the next one. Yeah, right.
That's how it works for us, right? Like, Corey and I don't get anything. It's just everybody else around us.
Oh, no. Now you're making me sad.
No. Excited for you. No, one of us has to get it.
Yeah, we should all get, like, one, and then, like, just open it together and just see what happens. You know what I mean? I don't know. All right, gentlemen.
Gonna rock, paper, scissors for the showcase that we pull.
Oh my god! I mean, it would be fantastic if the rates were really good. Where it's like, you know, like I said, like maybe one per three or something like that. So like it makes it worth it monetarily.
I still want them to be fairly rare, fairly exclusive. You know, I think you don't want to flood them. But at the same time, like you said, they are limiting the print run. So that's going to be interesting. Curious to see what that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting era for Star Wars Unlimited, for sure, because it's getting into this like investment, more really in like the investment collectible style of the game, of the cards, rather than just like playing it. Like, the original intent was like draft, or not digital intent, but like one of the things they really focus on was draft. So this takes away from that. I don't know. We'll see. I'm cautiously optimistic that it's good for the health of the game.
Yeah, but this is for the collectors, I think, more than for the game players.
True.
Sure.
Yep.
True. You guys going to go for Master Set? Set four?
No. If I was going to ever do one, it'd be set one, but
yeah. Just get the Carbonite box once and just for the thrills and then move on.
I got my playset of the con exclusives. That's all I needed.
Oh yeah.
I missed that on one, but I have two.
I opened one today and I took a video of it. I might post it on YouTube.
Yes.
Those cards those cards look really good.
So much better in person than they do in anywhere else. Yeah.
Yeah, they're absolutely gorgeous cards. If you're listening up until this point, I want you to be aware we're talking about, this was done on purpose. We will raffle, Padawan Limited will raffle out a convention exclusive. We just have to hit some certain metrics, talk about in the future. This will happen eventually. Just stay tuned. And again, if you listen until this point, now you know. You'll be aware. So. And with that, gentlemen, thank you for another exciting episode of Star Wars Unlimited, our Padawan Unlimited, a Star Wars Unlimited Trading Card Game Podcast. Signing off. And to everyone else out there, may the Force be with you.